The Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed.
Former Director of the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, there testifying the other day on Capitol Hill. She has resigned. What happens next? Joining us live on the Mark Arum Show, spokesperson for the National Police Association, it's Sergeant Betsy Bratner Smith. Should I refer to you as Sergeant Betsy, Ms. Smith? What do you prefer?
Hey, Betsy is just fine.
All right. Sergeant Betsy, thanks so much for your time. I guess, you know, you've been in law enforcement for 29 years in a variety of roles. Before we get into what happens next with the Secret Service, what was your initial reaction to what we were all horrified to see at the fairgrounds in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago?
Well, of course, as someone who has worked on these details, I was absolutely horrified by what I saw. I saw some really brave police officers do some fantastic things. I think a lot of that got lost. But of course, I was stunned like the rest of the nation in how could this happen? And we're still sorting through all that a week and a half later.
New reporting today from ABC that, the suspect, the assassin, now deceased, was spotted by law enforcement authorities. And some of the law enforcement agents left their post to look for him. Might have that caused a gap in the coverage that might have led to him actually getting access to that roof?
No, I don't think so. I think what led to him getting access to the roof was poor planning by the Secret Service, a lack of communication, and that's all starting to come out now. And really, it appears as though the Secret Service is short-staffed, and they had too many events going on, too many protectees, and kind of sent some of the C Squad to help with this rally. Now we're seeing some changes. You know, Kimberly Cheadle's resignation doesn't change much, other than it takes away the distraction of her poor performance. But, you know, we've got 3,600 agents in the Secret Service, and there's been some reports that the Trump campaign will agree to indoor rallies. We haven't had confirmation on that. But, you know, it's going to be a difficult campaign season for the Secret Service and ultimately the Department of Homeland Security as they try to keep all the protectees and the attendees safe. Yeah. And I don't want that to get lost, that, you know, attendees are also at risk at these events.
Well said. And I'm glad you brought up the, there's reporting that the Secret Service is asking the Trump campaign, don't hold any more outdoor rallies, hold them inside. What's the difference in the task of the Secret Service with an outside rally versus an inside rally?
Well, with an inside rally, you have much more control over who is getting close to the protectee and the attendees, you know, as we saw at an outdoor rally in Pennsylvania, a fairly rural area, but it was, those can be accessed by anything from a drone to, you know, other air things. One of the problems that we really continue to need to talk about is this credible threat from Iran. We have an open southern border. We know that terrorists are here in the United States, and the Secret Service and the Department of Homeland Security has admitted that we have these credible threats against Mike Pompeo and Donald Trump in this country. So that's something they will continue to have to deal with, and it's much easier to control that when people have to go through magnetometers. Now, this makes a Trump rally and any other candidate's rally a little more arduous, and people know what that's like to have to line up hours and hours and hours beforehand and go through the magnetometers. But unfortunately, I guess that's the world we live in, huh?
Law enforcement expert Sergeant Betsy Bratner Smith joining us live on the Mark Arum Show. I hate to play Monday morning quarterback, but going back to Pennsylvania, was it a mistake to have that secured area that the Secret Service set up not include the building in which the assassin's roof, where he took the shot? Should that have been in the secured area?
Well, absolutely. You can look at the aerial photographs of this area. Now we've had a bipartisan congressional committee go there, including my congressman, climb up on the roof, you know, use rangefinders and binoculars. We know that that was a very poorly planned event. And I want people to understand that the Secret Service is the one is the organization that controls all of that. Those decisions were not left up to local law enforcement. And I think you're going to hear more come out from the Pennsylvania State Police. We're so grateful at the National Police Association that the Butler Township leadership immediately went out there on national television and said, hey, our cops were doing what they were told to do. And so, you know, Kimberly Cheadle's gone. There's going to be a new director. But the investigation continues, and I hope the American public gets answers.
Yeah, I will be. I will, as far as the news angle of this story, I don't know. It's slowed down a bit, but it seemed like every day the FBI at least was releasing new information about the suspect, about what went wrong. But there's still going to have to be, as you mentioned, congressional hearings and investigations to make sure that we get all the facts of what went down in that Pennsylvania fairground. Cheadle's out. What's the new, I don't know, we don't know who it's going to be yet, but what does the new director of the Secret Service need to do when they get into office?
What they need to do, first and foremost, is come before the American people, introduce themselves, talk about their experience, and say, this will not happen again. We are on it. And whether it's to talk about training, whether it's to talk about personnel, you know, this all this talk of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, Kimberly Cheadle was an experienced Secret Service agent. But I don't want anybody to miss
sure.
that. But her leadership skills were terribly lacking. We're going to need to see a leader. We don't care what their gender is, their skin color, or any of that. They need to tell the American people and that, you know what, your protectees are going to be safe, and you are going to be safe participating in the political process. Don't miss this. We people, Americans, want to participate. This is going to be one of the most contentious, busiest campaign seasons of our lifetimes, and people like to go to rallies. They want to hear Kamala Harris speak. They want to hear Donald Trump speak. They want to participate, and as Americans, we should be allowed to do that, and that is on the federal government with local law enforcement partners to help keep people safe.
Final question for you, Sergeant. We're up against a news break. With your 29 years of experience in law enforcement in a variety of capacities, your thoughts on the assassin, Thomas Matthew Crooks. Lone gunman, is that your initial take, or do you think there might be something more to this?
My initial take is a lone gunman, but I wonder how he got radicalized, politically radicalized, if you will. There's too many questions about his background, why his parents reported him missing that day. We still haven't heard much about that. There is so much more we need to know about this young shooter, and it's not about the gun he had. It's about the actions that he took.
Indeed. Sergeant Betsy Bratner Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association, great nonprofit that supports law enforcement officers around the U.S. Where can folks find out more about the National Police Association?
Go to nationalpolice.org, follow us on social media, and if you can, hit that donate button and help us do all the great work we do for law enforcement and the people who support us.
Sergeant, great to have you on. Let's speak again in the future as this story develops.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to it.
There you go. Sergeant Betsy Bratner Smith, spokesperson for the National Police.